another edition of the Mike Smith Coaches Show coming up. William Moore is our special player guest in our second half hour today as the Falcons go to 2-0 with a six-point win last night over Denver at the Georgia Dome in front of a sellout house and an unbelievable ball game. And well, really, Dave, a lot of respects. The momentum shifts early. There were big plays both ways and sheer chaos at times.
Yeah, a lot. In an hour and 53 minutes of a first half, you're going to get some of that, as it turns out.
But you're 2-0.
And that's the key, Wes, and you're exactly right. Smitty says it all the time, can I be 1-0 this week?
Yep.
And now you're 1-0 2 weeks in a row, and you're now 2-0 and getting ready for a very difficult short week West Coast trip. You know, we talk about Smitty being 5-0 on the West Coast, and we're going to talk to Smitty here in just a few moments as he'll join us here on the Mike Smith Coaches Show. But I'm not sure that we've ever had a scenario like this one where you're coming off a short week and you travel to the West Coast. So this will be a little bit different animal for them. The players are off today, which is mandated by the NFLPA in the collective bargaining agreement. So they are not working today. So now you're talking about an extremely short work week.
Yeah, the interesting part here is that Mike Smith went to San Diego and Oakland his first year, won, has been to Seattle twice, won both times, and Oakland, or in, I'm sorry, San Francisco one time. They're 5-0 doing this. Now on the sixth try, the schedule makers have thrown a curveball of, oh, you're going to play Monday night at home.
Right.
This is not, they've not done this trip. They've done the 5-day, the regular prep, leave on Friday, having played the previous Sunday, not the Monday. That's going to be the interesting part here. And we'll ask Coach about the logistics of that coming up in our second segment with him as we go toward the bottom of the hour. If you were at the game last night, congratulations. It was one of the loudest nights in Dome history.
It was good.
The New Orleans game a couple of years ago on a Monday night was certainly loud. The playoff game against Green Bay was loud. The divisional game against the Rams in 2004 was loud.
Yeah, the night seven cap came back on in 03.
2003.
To Saturday night Carolina, against the Panthers. That was fairly loud.
Yeah. There was that Saturday night game in 04. The Superman play going to the end zone that was against the Panthers as well on a Saturday night.
We tend to like to do that against the Panthers.
There have been a handful of games where it's been loud, but Dave, last night was in the top five.
It was good. It really was good, Wes. I thought the crowd got into it early. I heard some stuff from the crowd that I hadn't heard from before. There was some chants going on with the crowd.
Yeah.
I thought that the group here with the Falcons did an outstanding job with the video board. I don't know if you noticed that with the linebacker core, the D-block guys asking for the noise. Mookie and Rob and the guys that do a great job here with AtlantaFalcons.com really did a nice job with some stuff, interactive stuff with the fans. And I thought with the Witherspoon and Stephen Nicholas and Mike P., up on the board asking for crowd noise. That was a nice little touch.
I wonder if there's more of that to come. Different guys, different angles, things like that.
Well, I don't know if you can find three better characters
True.
I mean, it's fine to go find some other guys, but I'm sure you got to – that was pretty good acting. You know, I don't know where you go with that. I don't think it's Oscar material, but certainly maybe an Emmy. Maybe some Emmy stuff.
Or some sort of video element award recognition. Yeah.
Maybe there's an Oscar-winning short there. I have no idea.
Mike Smith will join us, and then William Moore, who if anybody – were to be star of the game, it would be Willie Moe, an interception, a sack, a tackle for loss, about 10 total tackles, I guess, on the night for the Falcons in the six-point win over Denver. It's always hard to do this after 2 weeks, and I think at any level, whether it's the NFL or college or even high school football, I guess. But now you're 2-0, and you're one of a handful at 2-0 because there are 20 1-1 teams after week two, which is a fascinating stat in so many different lights. Some will say, well, it just speaks to the parity of the NFL. But the two games Atlanta's won have been fascinating. You've beaten two AFC West teams, one in Kansas City last Sunday, obviously, at Arrowhead. Then you come back last night, and you play a team that I think is probably going to end up having a really good year in the Denver Broncos, who obviously come highly decorated at quarterback. They've got some nice pieces around Peyton Manning. And it's going to be interesting to follow the Broncos as their season goes on as well. But Atlanta 2-0 now on the short week to San Diego. And head coach Mike Smith with us here at the Falcons Complex. Congratulations, first of all, to you and your squad on a pretty complete effort last night, really in all three phases of the ballgame, Coach.
Well, thanks, Wes. I think that our guys started fast, especially on the defensive side of the football. And creating those four turnovers in the first quarter were huge. And The offense, I thought, did a nice job. I'd like to see us. We all would. Like to see when we get those turnovers, we get touchdowns instead of field goals, because when you're playing an offense like, and a quarterback like Peyton Manning, sometimes you get field goals and you're losing ground because they're going to score touchdowns. But it was a fun game. The fans were fantastic. It was electric. It was a long game, but it was a fun game. It's 3 hours and 27 minutes of football last night, so it ended up going past midnight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it did, Schmitty. I think that you probably rolled out of there about 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, and then I'm sure you were in your office about 6 o'clock this morning or something like that. But it was a you mentioned the building, and I wanted to ask you about the building, because we've been there. You've been here for 5 years now, and you've had some good buildings, and you've had some nights where it hadn't gone your way, and so the building isn't quite as loud. That was probably as electric an atmosphere, Wes and I were just talking about, as we remember for a while.
It was fantastic. The thing I really thought was good is we kicked that ball off and everybody was in their seats. The weatherman, not to take away from the tailgaters or anything, but I think the weatherman helped us and got some of the people in the building early with the way that it was raining outside, I understand. But they were on it, and it was big. We got a procedural penalty early in the ball game, which was big 5 yards. So it was a fun night standing on the sideline. My ears are still ringing. So when they're still ringing almost 20 hours from the ball game, it was the decibels were rolling.
All right, we talk about the length of the game and the ebb and flow of the game. How much of that last night requires you to maintain poise, not just as an offense or a defense, but really collectively as a team, and I mean coaches as well, because there were a lot of interruptions for various reasons last night, whether it was replays, reviews, spelling out of the interpretation of calls, things like that. How much of that requires you to just say, hey, you know what, remain calm, let's go about our business here? And I think it speaks to a degree about the veteran leadership of your football team.
It does. Wes, we try to be very businesslike in terms of our preparation.
Sure.
It's going to be emotional. It's emotional on the sideline, but you don't want to waste your energy on emotions. You've got to save that energy so when you step on the field as a player, you're loaded up and ready to go. And I thought our guys did a real good job on Sunday night and Monday in our meetings and in our preparation, and we got the fast start that we needed. I thought we showed some resiliency. There were some plays in the ball game where we could have folded and not played as well, and I thought we did a nice job. Matt threw the ball extremely well again. It's going to be different guys each week. This week it was it was Tony and Roddy that were the main targets. Next week it may be maybe somebody else, and we've got the type of offense that we can go out there and distribute the ball to a bunch of different guys every week, and that's the fun thing to watch. We don't know until we get out there how that's going to unwind, and we are doing a really good job putting a game plan together offensively and defensively and special teams through these first two games.
You're listening to Mike Smith on the Mike Smith Show here on 790 The Zone. Dave Archer, Wes Durham alongside. Smitty, do you tailor a game plan for a building? You're going to be at home, and obviously there's going to be communication issues. Your defense was all over the place. It was very difficult for them to locate, identify who they were going to block. Can that be tailored to your building, knowing you're going to have the crowd noise?
Oh, without a doubt, Dave, in terms of making it difficult for the quarterback and the offensive line to identify who the rushers are and who the droppers are on specific plays, gives us a big advantage. And it was very difficult. Peyton was having to go up and down the line, receivers coming in. And when that's happening, you have to feel as a defensive coach that you have an advantage, because they're not really sure when they're pointing, repointing, and going back to going back this way and checking two and three times. You feel like you're getting accomplished what you want to get accomplished, and that is to create
this illusion of we're in one thing and we're actually in something else.
You've worked to try to build a defense here for 5 years, and there's guys have come and gone. Now you've got a base guy, group of guys you've kept. But I know you've always tried to get to a group that kind of smelled blood in the water. And that was one of those nights last night where it looked like that was the defense that you've been trying to build here for 4 years and a couple games, of a blood in the water, because they just kept feeding on what was going on.
Yeah, they were very energetic, and they felt like they had a beat on what we were wanting to get accomplished, and they were able to get it done. And when you create 4 turnovers in the first 15 minutes of a football game, and you're plus 4 on the turnover ratio at the end of the ball game, you're doing some good things on both sides of the football. We've not turned the ball over offensively, and we're creating them defensively. So that's a good formula when you start talking about the number one factor of a win or a loss. Turnover ratio is the biggest thing. And then the other thing that we have to get a little better at is it's the toxic differential that we talk about, and that's how many explosive plays you create and how many explosive plays you give up. And we're not quite where we want to be there, but in terms of the turnover ratio, the first 2 games have been outstanding.
All right, win a couple ball games like this. I know the old adage, you can coach a little harder. You can watch tape a little deeper. After 2 ball games in a 2-0 situation, what does concern you? What are you looking at? I know you want to cash these turnovers in for touchdowns every time. You want every red zone to be a 6.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the concerns? And what else jumps to mind here after 2?
Well, that's a big concern that you offensively you want to go out, and every time you have the ball, the mentality has to be we want to score touchdowns.
Right.
And we want to be ticked off when we don't score a touchdown. And we know it's impossible, but we're striving. We know we're not going to be perfect, but we're striving to be elite. You know, not excellent, but elite. Some of the things that have stood out, and each year it's you're a different team.
Sure.
In terms of the players, even if you have the same players, some of them are a year older, some of them are younger, because you got new guys in, and we've got to be able to run the football when we have to run the football, and we were able to do that last night. So that was an improvement from week one. There in that 4-minute drill, we had to run the football. We had to get a first down to basically ice the game away and get into my favorite formation, and that's watching Matt have 2 guys next to him and taking a knee for a couple of snaps. So we've got to get a little bit better in our efficiency running it. I'm not saying we're going to go out here and run the football 40 times a game. I don't think that's going to be the type of team we're going to be most games. But we've got to be able to run the ball effectively. And on the flip side, our run defense has not been as stout as it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
What we were doing in the game last night kind of dictated that we were going to be a little bit softer on the run because of the way we were aligning. The ball could potentially be snapped, and we weren't going to be as gap sound as we needed to be. But we've got to get better at stopping the run, because there's going to come a time and a place in this season where somebody's going to say, hey, we're going to line up, and we're going to try to run the football right at you, and you're going to have to be able to stop it. So those are the 2 areas that we need to address.
All right, Coach Mike Smith with us here at Flowery Branch. Stay tuned. Plenty more of the Mike Smith Coaches Show right after this. I'm back with Coach Mike Smith and Dave Archer, Wes Durham here at Flowery Branch. The Mike Smith Coaches Show continues. William Moore is our player guest in the second half hour today. You have told us time and again, Smitty, one man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. Last night, in the middle of the game, Robert McClain gets his opportunity.
Sure did, and made the most of it, Wes. He got he got an opportunity to go in there and play. We were down some corners there at one time, and we were scrambling a little bit because if another one went down, I don't know what we would have done. We'd had Thomas Deku out there playing corner. But Robert came in and made a big play on a seam route. Great read. He was in a 2-1. He was basically a true zone 2-1 read, and he was able to get a jump on the ball and pick off Peyton, and had a great return. And Robert's a guy that fought like crazy in the off season and won a roster spot. by what he was able to do in the preseason. He's a very active guy, and this was his first opportunity because of the injury to Brent to even be on the 46-man roster. And his role changed just like that, and he's got had an opportunity to go out there and play. Next week, I'm sure his role will be a little bit bigger than it was this past week.
By the way, first career interception for Robert McClain last night on a Monday night.
It's against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
It's just an impressive situation, having been a player and stood on the sideline, to all of a sudden have your number called, and not called in a situation where the game's over with and you're able to go in and just kind of shadow guy. You're coming in the heat of the game replacing one of the great corners that's ever played in the league in Asante Samuel. And, oh, by the way, they're going to come after you. They're coming in. And he's only been in the game a couple plays. And talk about that, Smitty, him playing. I know you got into it, the 2-by-1. But essentially, he's playing in between a guy trying to run the go to the outside, the seam, and the other side. He's having to read that play right off of the bench.
No doubt it was a tough situation. And the guy that's throwing the ball, all right, is probably the best quarterback in the history of the game, arguably, that knows how to look a guy off and get the ball to the inside receiver. And Robert made a great break on the ball, went up and attacked it, caught it, and then was really impressed with his returnability.
I want to close the secondary discussion out. You mentioned in your comments to the media, Christopher Owens is now in the concussion protocol program. Mm-hmm. So you got to wait and see. It's almost, I don't say day-to-day, but it is pretty much a day-to-day evaluation process, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And he's got certain benchmarks that he's got to obtain. And if he doesn't obtain it, he stays at that same stage. So we're on a short week. Not going to say it's impossible, but we're going to make sure that Christopher Owens is healthy and ready to go, and the independent neurosurgeon has cleared him.
All right. Very good. Now, on to Sunday here. Not since my man Archer was out there have they been flinging it around and doing it all right.
Sure, we didn't fling around that much.
San Diego is 2-0, and everybody talks about what they do offensively, Smitty, but you just told me during the break, I mean, don't sleep on the defense and what they've done.
They're playing very good defense. They have only allowed 83 rushing yards through their first two games. And the team they played last week has got a guy that is pretty darn good rusher, had almost the 2,000-yard rusher 2 years ago. They're third overall. They're only allowing 266 yards a game. And their third down defense is very good. They're only allowing people to convert 25% of the time in the first two ball games. So they're doing a really nice job. And then offensively, they exploded for 38 points last week with out their two main weapons, the running back Ryan Matthews and Antonio Gates. And Rosario, the tight end that filled in, came in. He had a heck of a game. He had four catches for 48 yards and three touchdowns coming in, the backup for Antonio Gates. They've got confidence in Rosario to throw him the ball three times, and he gets three touchdowns.
Tells you Phillip Rivers likes to throw the ball at tight end. Let's get the tight end.
Well, we've got to work on that, Dave. There's no doubt that that's going to be an emphasis point, because it doesn't matter if it's Rosario or Gates, especially there in the red zone, because he likes the matchup, and he goes to the tight end.
Well, and I think there's a possibility, and again, you got guys that are banged up, and you don't know when they're going to come off. Ryan Matthews is a kid that may be eligible to come off this week with, I think he had a collarbone injury.
That's correct. First carry of the preseason.
Yeah, so Ryan Matthews is a guy they drafted to be the guy that was going to take over for Danian Tomlinson, might be the guy available. I wanted to ask you a couple things, Smitty. First of all, this game, you guys have done such a good job of managing the West Coast, but as Wes talked about right at the beginning of the show, it's a little bit different animal in the fact that now you're going out on a short week, and so it doesn't change how you approach it, but it does change a little bit and condense your window to practice and get ready.
It most certainly does, and the biggest issue that we have is playing on Monday night and then trying to come back and practice on Wednesday.
Sure.
It's not even 48 hours since the game ended. And you've got to change that first practice of the week. We will not practice in pads. We'll go out and make sure that we do a lot more walkthroughs and get the guys feeling better because they're not used to coming on a normal week. It's definitely Wednesday before they come out, and they've played on Sunday, so it's almost 3 days, and we're not even talking about 48 hours. So we're gonna have to change that, and then at the end of the week, we're gonna leave on Friday, mm-hmm. and we've had a lot of success leaving a day early to get out there and kind of acclimate ourselves, and we try to stay on the the East Coast clock because we don't want to change our body clock, so we're eating, doing things at different hours than the people out on the West Coast are used to doing. But we try to sequence it like it's a 4 o'clock kickoff here on the East Coast, and it's a 1 o'clock kickoff there on the West Coast.
Now you've talked. There's multitasking, and then there's multitasking. You've watched film prior to the game last night on these guys. I think, have you not?
Yes, we have.
So how do you keep that separated, knowing you got the Chargers in a week?
It's something that, as a defensive coordinator, I learned that you have to do it to stay, to stay ahead, and you've got to be able to compartmentalize and kind of not really focus too much on it, but you want to have an idea, some generalities when you watch a team before you play, you play your game. And yesterday was a long day, and had an opportunity to watch the Tennessee Titan game. More in depth than I normally would, simply because we had all day to sit around.
Who knew it was going to take all night, too?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it took all night. That first, I looked down on my watch.
Yeah,
that
I
first
knew you
quarter,
would.
That first quarter, it was like, you got to be kidding me. I think it was 58 minutes,
yeah, was.
Something like that. And then I said, and then the second quarter felt like it was just as long as the first quarter, and I looked at my watch, and it looked like we were almost 2 hours. I'm going, holy cow, this is going to be a four-hour football game. And, last week it was 2 hours and 52
right.
minutes. We did speed up the second half a little bit, and I think we got out of there in 3 hours and 27 minutes. So,
very quickly, if we're to learn anything about your football team through the first couple weeks, what should we learn? What are the bywords that you've figured from these first two ball games?
Well, there's a lot of takeaways. When I say takeaways from the first two games, this is a very energetic football team. They've not only on Sunday and Monday when we've played, but
sure.
but all through the week, they identify things that we've got to get better at, and we don't always meet that goal that week, but I think we know what we have to emphasize as a football team and as a coaching staff. And offensively, we've got a number of different options for the quarterback. Our mm-hmm. quarterback's throwing the ball efficiently. He's number one in the NFL in passer rating, I believe. Hasn't thrown an interception. We continue to play like that on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to give ourselves a chance each and every week. Defensively, we're evolving into the scheme that the coaching staff and that we as a staff have put together for the 2012 Atlanta Falcons. But we've got a lot of things that we can get better at. And our special teams, it shows up every time we've gone out. They can run. And if you can run on special teams, you're going to have a chance, because four of the six plays that you have to play on special teams involve running 40 yards or more.
Yeah.
Kickoff return, punt return. You got to have guys that can run, and we got some guys that can run.
All right, Smitty, thanks. As always, good luck Sunday in San Diego.
All right, thank you, guys.
It's Mike Smith, of course. Stay tuned. William Moore coming up in our player segment presented by Buckhead Beef. The show continues. Don't forget the U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line. Open now at 775-30. And your questions for the Missouri Hammer, William Moore is here. Good to see you.
For having me.
Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Anytime.
Did I take care of you a little bit on the pick there?
No doubt.
Arch sets you up
swinging
now. Every game, Arch sets you up. And, I mean, you guys delivered last night. It was we were talking after the game. I mean, this was – you guys were determined this was going to be a defensively dictated ball game early, right?
No doubt about it. We had a challenge on our hands with everything Peyton did the previous week in Pittsburgh. We knew what we had to do, what we was facing, so we came in a swing, like you said.
Will, when you looked at the issues that they brought to the table from the no huddle, how difficult was it to get into what you guys wanted to do? Because you wanted to show him a ton of looks at the line of scrimmage. Was that tough to do? I know you practiced some of it, but still, that's not game time type situation.
I wouldn't say it was tough to do, but you never find out how to go until you get in the game, and then you have to make adjustments from there. But obviously, it worked out to our favor from a disguise standpoint. We showed him a lot of different looks, and me personally, I still was surprised that, you know, Peyton didn't pick it up as fast. He all game he was trying his best to, but that's one of those defenses where you can't pick it up. You can only try to take advantage of something. But he couldn't get it. So I think it'll be successful for us all season if we can continue to execute.
You baited him on the interception, didn't you?
Most definitely.
You guys in tight, and then you baited him, let him throw the seam, and you went and took it.
Yeah, make it look wide open, and everybody know where they're going. And, you know, it was the greatest guys, man.
William Moore's with us in the player segment presented by Buckhead Beef. He'll get a gift certificate from Buckhead Beef for the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more. From Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef, it's the best there is, and he certainly deserves it after last night's effort. For all the things that happened early in the game, Dave and I were trying to do the math on the fly late in the game. Best of our ability, the Colts ran 26 offensive snaps in and around two touchdowns and a five-play drive where they punted, and the offense went 2-3 and outs for the Falcons. You guys were able to hold the rope enough, though, that at the end they got touchdowns, but at the same time were able to stay in contention, in the game, not let it totally slide away. The conditioning, the energy, all those things late, it's totally different than the beginning, right?
Most definitely. Playing in the dome, I think it had a great advantage for us. And the momentum that our fans gave us, because we knew the no huddle, you had to be conditioned. All week, we knew, like I said, we knew we was getting into with the no huddle. It's huge to be conditioned and disciplined at the same time. But our offense, you know, that's part of the game. You know, some days offense going to be, you know, hold us down. Some days defense, but you got to look at it as a team. Special teams hold us down. But overall, we just stood our ground. I felt very proud about DB stepping up. Mm-hmm. When the guys went down, that was very important, man.
When you look at how taxing that can be, and I thought Steven Nicklaus looked pretty gassed near the end of the game. I don't think there's any question about that. I watched him on film, and he was fighting as hard as he could. But, you know, at some point they landed – the big grand piano was on his back. He was trying to run. But how much does that tell you and even emphasize more what you've got to do to take care of your body? Here we are in a short week. What are some of the things you need to do? Talk about what you're going to do this week to make sure that this short week doesn't creep up and get you.
Number one, I got in here early as I could this morning as far as getting in here, getting the cold tub, hot tub, doing the small things, man, especially just most important, you want to rest your mind because it's a short week and it starts up top, man. You want to forget about this game right here and just try to move on and start watching film on the next game. But from – you know, Nick and our linebackers, you know, he wasn't the only one out there. You know, they position different from ours. Yeah. They have, you know, they down in the trenches and we back. You know, me personally and from Deku and Rob McClain, all those guys, I asked them, was nobody gassed? I think it was the momentum that we had going into the whole ball game. I wouldn't gas one time.
Well, it's like you said, too. Those two guys were so active in the run game early in the game.
Right.
And crashing line, crashing guards and fighting off blocks and that kind of stuff, that's going to add up at some point.
No doubt about it, especially with the disguise that we got going on then.
Right.
You know, they're moving around.
A lot of extra movement, yeah.
They used to just, you know, putting their hands on their knees and ready to roll. But, you know, we changing things up. And I know those guys will get in here and figure that out this week.
When you talk about the things you were doing last night, and there have been a lot of people today, analysts, media types, trying to break down exactly all the movement, particularly out of safeties, that was being created last night and what it was creating in the back third, so to speak, behind the linebackers and in front of, you know, kind of corners and that right. kind of thing. Did you have a sense in watching tape leading up to the game, hey, we're on to something here, and if we can just get a play early – then we might really cloud things for what Denver's trying to do?
I'm going to say every game we go into, we say if we swing first and try to make a play early,
right.
you can use that spark throughout the whole game. But with Peyton, we didn't – it was tough to say to go out there and say that we're going to make a play on him. We was just basically looking at not showing our hand and showing what defense we're going to run, because if you pick up on it early, it's going to be a long game.
Right.
And that's what we took advantage of that.
William Moore with us here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone, the player spotlight on the Mike Smith Show. Wes Durham, Dave Archer. Will, you guys got gashed a little bit with the shotgun run. So, as you know, copycat league,
no doubt.
You're going to see they're going to line up in the gun and they're going to run the delay handoff. What's the answer to that?
Discipline up front. And, you know, from a safety position, we're important in the run also. It comes down to, you know, your techniques and just knowing your keys.
Okay.
Because I got a little physical on the run, too, last night. They got me with a few play actions and whatnot. I got a little physical because, you see, they start running the ball a lot after a while. And he started pulling it and throwing it. And he caught me a few times, but luckily he didn't go to my side, so.
That mean you grayed out okay, right?
Right. I think the film cut it out.
take us through the sack, because that was that a wrinkle you'd run earlier in the game and they just blocked it better, or did you find something there and freelance it, or is it just one of those things?
You know, I'll be honest, after I sacked Peyton, I think he had got up and I heard him yelling to the back. He said, I said, slide right,
uh-huh.
Which is my direction. And I actually showed that I was coming. And I really thought he picked it up. And the back actually, you know, shifted to the other way. And I was so free, you know, it was just me and Peyton. But that's one of the plays I was just more surprised that Peyton didn't pick it up. And, you know, it was a good call by Coach Nolan. He seen something that, you know, we didn't see. So that was good, man.
How much football have you learned from Mike Nolan, Willie?
A lot. He put the game in a different perspective, man, as far as you know, I'm one of them type of players. You have different players, you know. No knock on older guys,
sure.
Guys that play it that, you know, that certain way. But I'm one of those players. I'm more having fun. I'm more – but I take the game very serious. I love the game. But I it's one way that I love to play, and that's basically like in the park, you know. I like to run, hit, and, you know, play ball.
Yeah, the word's out, you like to hit, I think. Yeah. I think we got that part covered.
And, you know, I just Coach Nolan, he takes your advantage as a football player, and he makes it your advantage, not your disadvantage. So, you see what I'm saying?
I certainly felt like that your sack, and I know we got to take a break here, but we'll come back with William Moore. But I thought it was a cumulative effect, Wes. Mm-hmm. I thought that all the stuff they had seen – and the back's being told to slide right, he's being told to slide left, and all of a sudden he begins to start hearing ghosts. Ghosts are talking to him about sliding left, and the cumulative effect eventually got them, and Will comes in clean and puts Baton on the ground in a huge play in the game.
Yes, it was. We'll take a timeout. William Moore with us in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Don't forget our SunTrust Defensive Play of the Game. William's interception is brought to you by SunTrust. They help you stay in control of your money. SunTrust, live solid. Bank Solid, your U.S. Auto Sales, You Tell Us text line, and more with William Moore from the Falcons Complex as the Mike Smith Coaches Show continues after this. With William Moore and Dave Archer, Wes Durham here at the Falcons Complex, final segment of the Mike Smith Coaches Show here. And then Sunday to San Diego, and our pregame starts at 2 o'clock, kick time at 4:05 from Qualcomm. And then back next Monday with another edition of the show. And before we're done, we'll get your questions on the U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line. And also the pressure of providing tickets at a road venue, courtesy of William Moore. Because the Kansas City game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, Ty was going to be there, right? Your hometown?
No doubt about it. We're going to get in there.
I know. We'll talk about that coming up. Because Arch will tell you, no pressure like road game tickets, right?
None at all.
Home game a bit easier.
Let me tell you something. It didn't cost as much back when I was playing as they do now.
You guys are 2-0, mm-hmm. and now being dealt, I think, the schedule challenge of the year, the Monday night game, and now Sunday in San Diego and Lee Friday. How much is mental and how much is physical here, Will? To get ready for this, is 50-50. It more mental? Is it 50-50?
50-50. But I say you clear your mind first. Your body will come around, but I say you got to clear your mind first and get rid of the past game and move on to the next game and put everything together.
How much carryover you think? I mean, I know you're not that deep into San Diego yet, but just the principles here and the kind of things they do. I mean, obviously they've got a running back who could very well be back in Ryan Matthews. Antonio Gates is a quality tight end. You saw some variables of that last night with Tammy and I think Joel Dreesen.
Mm-hmm.
How much carryover do you think as you get into this between Denver and San Diego?
A lot. If you speak talent-wise, it's going to be out throughout the whole NFL. You know, every week,
sure.
Week in, week out, you got, you know, elite players at every position. But with San Diego, man, they got a great football team, man. You know, especially with Phillip Rivers back there controlling the offense. He's been back there for a while. And I have absolutely no clue of what, you know, what they run or nothing. We're going to have to get into the game tape early this week and get out. We ain't got many days.
I can tell you two things they're going to do. They're going to throw the ball to the tight end.
Yeah.
Because Rosario had three touchdowns this weekend.
I saw that.
And that was in place of Gates. And they're going to run the delay handoff out of the shotgun because you guys showed a little pension to let that get to you a little bit. So you're going to see that, right?
You sure y'all want to suit up this week?
Let me tell you something. You got it covered. Y'all got it covered. Tell me, Will, how does this schedule – You play them as they come, I know, and you've been in this league long enough to adjust to whatever they throw at you. But, you know, you got home away, all the way through the season. You don't get like a home stretch where you're at home or a road stretch. Does that mean anything?
I love it, man. I love it because if you can win on the road, you know, obviously you come home, you had that momentum going into, you know, your own place. And with this football team, I really don't feel like none of that is in our way. It's not a distraction to us going on the road. We're getting in a groove and getting on, the same schedule of home away, and we're looking forward to winning on the road this year.
Well, I know you think about your team, and that's your sole focus is to make sure you guys win your game. Surprises out there, Saints 0-2, any surprise to you in that regard?
Most definitely, especially the players they got over there, and they got some of the same players. And, you know, it's tough to see teams like that start off like that, but you can never count, you know, teams right. like that out. You can never count them out. They're a division team. We'll be seeing them a lot, and we really don't care when it comes to when we play them. They can be 0-1 whatever. They're going to come to give Atlanta their best game, I know it.
We were talking to Coach Smith, obviously, in our first segment. One of the things I asked him about was, you know, what's he found from this football team the first two ball games? Obviously, 2-0, good to get off to the great start. He used the word, this team is energetic all the time, not just on Sundays or Monday night as it was last night, but during the week, this is an energetic football team. Is that different from years past? Has there been something? I know Samuel's in there. I know Asante is full of energy, and it's – Art says there's just enough swag there to, you know, to
get him in trouble.
but is the energy level, is that one of the things about this team that you're sensing through training camp and now the regular season?
That's one thing. But my most important thing, I've seen Coach Smith, he's more, I wouldn't say lenient, but, you know, he's more understandable. Of, he got a bunch of hype, energetic guys on the team last year. You know, it was he kind of held it to a minimum and said, hey, you know, calm down a little bit. Now he, you know, we doing our job, but do what you got to do. You know, this is how you get ready. This is how you got y'all getting the job done. Continue to stay hyped up. This is how you play. This is how you do it.
William Moore on our player spotlight here on Mike Smith's show here on Sports Radio 790 Zone, West Durham, Dave Archer. Will, I was a little surprised last night. And Asante, good cover guy. Had a little pop to him now. He knocked Decker on his can and made a couple of really nice, chopped a couple pins out, knocked some people down. Were you surprised the way he hit?
No, I wasn't more surprised. I mean, when he did it, when he caused that fumble, he stood up and he looked at me and said, William, oh, you thought I couldn't hit too? Like, I was like, all right. That's a good, you be the spark then. I like it, man.
He's like a little assassin. He kind of comes in, and then he gets out of the way so nobody else can get him. Right?
I love it, man.
All right, let's get to our U.S. Auto Sales. You Tell Us text line. Meg's question is, come to us at 77530. We'll take one question every week for our player guest. She wants to know, who has been your greatest career influence, Will?
Player or coach?
Either. One of each.
I have to go with Coach Mill.
You know? Really?
Yeah, Smitty, he definitely believed in me, you know, rough start as far as injuries as a rookie, and he continued to, you know, be a positive coach around me, you know, give me opportunity to continue to make plays and gave me opportunity to start on this team, and been going since, and he's been a heck of a coach on and off the field, so I continue to get better, and I love playing for him.
Who was the player that you watch as a kid growing up and that
B-Dawg, Brian Dawkins.
Brian Dawkins,
all
okay.
day, Weapon X. yeah.
You ever watch him crawl out of the tunnel out on the field?
I've been wanting to do it, but I don't
if
think
if they ever introduced the players here, you're crawling out?
I said I was. I was just going to roll out of there. Oh, well, I was going to let the rest be the rest. Whatever the crowd do, they probably look at me crazy, but they get used to it.
You keep making plays like you made last night. You can crawl out. You can do whatever you want to out of the tunnel.
You know, B-Dawg's starting to play television now.
Is he?
Yeah. Trying to play a little TV game.
I ain't seen him. I follow him on Twitter, man. I'm keeping up with his tweets. That's about it.
All right, real quick here in our final segment. Last week in Kansas City, second time the Falcons have been to the state of Missouri since you started playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this ticket thing, when you go back home now, because it's not every year we go to Missouri to play. So, hey, Ty, your hometown. Not how big? Because I want to make sure we get this right. It's not terribly big, right?
No, not at all.
So we had to have some folks in Kansas City and get them to the game, right?
I had to. I hope they are listening to it right now. This is going to stop soon. I hope they're listening to it live on radio. But yeah, it's a headache, man. But I love the support. They come out and support me, man. And you know,
and hey, they did at Mizzou, you told me, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, no doubt.
Right down the road, man. It's rare in Haytop we have opportunity to go watch somebody play ball, and I do the same thing if somebody else is playing for Haytop.
That's awesome.
I love it, man.
All right, there's a game in Columbia, but it's not in Columbia, Missouri. It's in Columbia, South Carolina. Now, the Tigers, the Missouri Tigers, got a big win against Arizona State this weekend at home after losing to Georgia. And now you go on your first road trip, and I say you because you, former Missouri Tiger, your boys are going to go on the road for the first time, and they'll go to the other Columbia, South Carolina, take on the Gamecocks. You got any forecasts for us?
Oh, we beat them before in the Independence Bowl, I want to say.
Now, how far back are we going?
2006.
Damn, none of them guys are even on a team no more.
Well,
man.
But we beat them, though.
Okay.
But, I think we can go in there, man, and put up a good game, man. We're trying to show the SEC that we can play. And like I said earlier, with a few more recruits, Coach Pinkel getting used to the swing of things, I think we'll be huge. Man.
I noticed that you kept a low profile a couple weeks ago. You let Spoon handle the public relations the week of the Georgia game.
No doubt. I just played the backfield, man. That's all I can do, man. You got guys like Akeem Den on the team. And
Spoon.
Yeah. It was a tough loss, man. I lost a lot, a lot of bragging rights. So the good thing about it, we'll be back next year.
Has Spoon always been in charge of PR, Will?
Yeah, no doubt about it. He can have it. I told him, you're the man. I tell him all the time, you're the man.
I mean, video board, the whole bit.
All that.
I saw you back in the cafeteria earlier today before you came on with us, and ESPN was on back there. How cool is it now to throw? Because they didn't really have all the coverage and all that kind of stuff the way in the league like they do now when I was playing. But to flip on ESPN. And there, the first highlight is you tipping the ball to yourself and running for a touchdown. It should have been a touchdown, by the way.
Yeah.
But running down the 1 yard line. How cool is that?
That's something, man. Especially on Peyton Manning, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I stayed up, 6 o'clock last night watching, ESPN is basically repeats.
Right.
I act like I never saw it, like every time it came on.
You saw it like 10 times.
Yeah. It was huge, man. I'm so excited about that. Like I said, Peyton Manning was one of the guys I watched growing up, and then go out and sack him and get an interception on him. I'm going to feed off that for the rest of the season.
That's cool.
Well, you have spent a good bit of Tuesday with us. We appreciate it. I know it's a short week. William Moore and our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight, thank you as always. Always good to catch up with you. Enjoyed watching you kind of come on here the last couple of years. This has been fun for us, too.
Definitely.
All right. Sunday in San Diego. Kick time is at 4:05 Eastern. Countdown to kickoff. AT&T's countdown to kickoff from a Taco Mac in Metro Atlanta at 2 on Sunday afternoon. Thanks to Bo Morgan and to Gordon as well for helping us out here. For Dave Archer, Wes Durham, the Mike Smith Show from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.